from the historic Corpus Christi Cathedral in Corpus Christi, Texas. We invite you to celebrate with us the sacred mysteries, listening to God's Word, and partaking in spiritual communion. Welcome to the Holy Mass.
Good morning. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and Father Pete Elizardo, I'd like to welcome all of you to Corpus Christi Cathedral. Also, in a very special way, I welcome all who are joining us via television, internet, and radio. We also welcome all of those who are joining us from the McConnell unit in Beeville. Know always that you are part of our cathedral family. Now let us join with our celebrant, Father Brady, as we begin our Eucharistic celebration.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
My brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. They appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord.
The glorious splendor of your reign. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule endures for all generations.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
In that second reading in the book of Revelation, we hear from the one on the throne says, "Behold, I make all things new." This Easter season, we really celebrate the newness of life that each of us received in our baptism. We died with Christ in order to rise with him. And it is in this context that we are thrown back in the gospel to the upper room where Jesus tells his disciples, and indeed he tells us, the new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. St. John in his letters says the new commandment is new, yet it is an old commandment. In the old commandments, the Israelites were commanded to love God and to love their neighbor. But the new commandment Jesus gives us is to love one another as he has loved us. This is the new measure, the new criteria, the new way in which we are to love. St. Paul says, "The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we have the ability to love as God has loved us." Jesus gives us a commandment. He says to love as he has loved us. He can only command something unless if he gives us the ability to do it. In baptism, by uniting ourselves and being infused in the love of God, in his life, gives us that very ability to love as he has loved us. As he loves us, that's the new criteria. I was always fascinated by the fact in Italy, when a couple would tell each other, I love you, you would think they would say, te amo, you know, like that's amore, right? We know the song, that's amore. But rather, they really would say, it was more common for them to say to each other, ti voglio bene, which literally translated means, I will the good for you. I want the good for you. Because that's what love is, to will the good of the other. I think it kind of reminds me, too, of in today in the church, where sometimes we hear this, what we call the Francis or the Pope Francis effect. With someone like Pope, but each Holy Father, by the way, has a gift to give to the church. Not one of them has all the gifts to give. I think for Pope Benedict XVI, or Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, his gift was really a renewal of theology and of understanding the faith in order to live it well. I think with Pope Francis, it has to do, like St. Francis himself, that the primary thing is love. Is love. Love is the primary thing, therefore love is dynamic, it's creative, but it's also very rowdy. Doesn't that describe the church today? Rowdy. Intellectually, everything seems to be very much in order when you deal with things from the intellect, but when it comes to love, it gets kind of crazy. And I think that's where the church is today. But that's the gift. To learn for us as Christians to love as Jesus has loved us. There was a Peanuts cartoon written by Charles Schulz. As Linus exasperatingly states, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. When Jesus says to us, as I have loved you, so you should love one another, how does Jesus love us? Not in the general terms, but that he loves me. That Jesus loves me. When he looks at me, that he delights in me. He loves me. He loves me as I am. And he loves me to death. He loves us to the end. He loves us to the point of laying down his life for me. He does everything to please the Father. And because of his power in us, we too can love in the very same way. Sometimes you hear it said, you know, I have to love someone, but I don't have to like them. Is that the way Jesus teaches us to love? It's not really true, is it? Because when we look at the other and we want and we will the good of the other, we see the good, even those people who are indeed our enemies. That's why Jesus says to love your enemies. We can love them because we see the good in them despite the fact that they hate us. Because we have to love as Jesus loves us, not as we want to love, or according to my measure, but the way that he loves us. Jesus tells us that love really is the Christian, identifies us as Christians. He says, this is how all will know you are to my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is then meant to be sort of the identification of us as Christians. It's what sets us apart. Indeed, and really in the 3rd century already, Tertullian, who was one of the church fathers, said that when the Romans referred to the early Christians, they often remarked, see how they love each other. This is how they recognize them as Christians. Would they recognize us today in the same way? Do others outside, on the outside looking in, see us and say, you know what marks them out? Is that they love one another, or the way that they love is different. Of course, love is not just good feelings. We may not feel good about it at all. It's a love that brings us to lay down our lives for others, to go the extra mile and sometimes, but just as Jesus laid down his life for us, and when he looks at us with great delight and pleasure. This is, and ends up being our greatest power, and this is our great privilege. God has come to us and told us this is what will fulfill us. He has come to us and told us what he's hoping from us, and that is to love one another as I have loved you. Love is what will identify us as his followers. In another Peanuts cartoon, George Schulz has Lucy saying to Charlie Brown, I'm intrigued by this view you have on the purpose of life, that we're put on earth to make others happy. And Charlie Brown responds, that's right. And Lucy looks at him and says, what are the others put here for? to love as Jesus loves. There was a story, you might remember Rick Hoyt. Rick Hoyt was born with severe brain damage, and it impeded him from speaking or using his arms as legs. He was basically a paraplegic. And the doctors had told his father, Dick Hoyt, he says, forget about Rick, put him away, put him in an institution, he's going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. There's nothing basically you could do. But his father was determined to love him. And by the advice of some other doctors, they really strove to try to treat their son as they would treat anybody else, any other child. So Dick and Rick's mother took their son camping. They took him cross-country skiing. They took him swimming. And they actually encouraged him to attend Boston University, which he did. Then Rick decided that he wanted to compete in triathlons. That was easy for him to say. You know, his dad was the one who was going to have to figure this out. So what they did is they fashioned a kind of special boat and a bicycle so that they could swim. So they made like this boat where he would carry him along through the boat, and then a bicycle would sit his son in the bicycle next to him. And if when you combined the weight of the boat and the bicycle, it was like 400 pounds of weight that his dad had to carry. And so after they would complete their bike ride, his father Dick would carry his son Rick to the running chair, and they would tackle the run together. They have done 31 marathons and 252 triathlons together. It's amazing, huh? Amazing. The love that this father had for his son, determined. He was determined to show his son this love. A love in a way to the end. Never gave up on him. See, in this way, love is creative. It doesn't give up. No matter what the sacrifices, love keeps going. And that's the love that Jesus shows to each one of us. That love, brothers and sisters, is renewed. This commandment is not new for us, yet we know that it has to be continually renewed to love as Jesus loves. When we hear the Acts of the Apostles, that first reading, Paul is returning from his first missionary journey, and he's going back to the places he visited to renew the faith of the disciples. How easy it is, right, to us to forget, to set aside that new commandment. And he reminds them, we must undergo many trials in order to enter the kingdom of God. How true that is. That love, the love for us and the love that for us for him, with the very love with which he has loved us, is renewed every Sunday in the Eucharistic celebration. It is Christ's love poured out for us to fill us so then we can love as Jesus loves us. And it has to be. We have to be renewed because we know from experience how difficult it is to love, how easy it is to walk out the door and we're basically our old selves again. That sacrament renews us and we need it. It's also our faith and our ability to live more perfectly that needs to be deepened, renewed and refreshed through our prayer, through hearing the word of God, through studying the scriptures, through our catechesis, adult faith formation, all those things which form our hearts anew, which give us a new heart and a new spirit. Behold, the Lord makes all things new. He renews us in his love and then commands us to go and love in return. May this Easter season inspire us, fill us with the very love of God, that we may love as he loved and fulfill the commandment. I think at the very end of our life, Jesus, when we go before Jesus, perhaps he will ask us one question, only one. How well did you receive my love? And how well did you love in return? Let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We give voice to our needs and the needs of our sisters and brothers, confident in the one who makes all things new.
For the Church, that we may manifest the selfless love of Christ in the way we treat one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that peoples and nations may put aside their differences and disagreements and work toward creating a world without pain or tears, we pray to the Lord. For those who are graduating this spring, as they celebrate their achievement and prepare for new challenges ahead, we pray to the Lord. That our parish community may always open the door of faith to those searching for God, searching for meaning, searching for a home, let us pray to the Lord. For all of those caught up in violence, remembering especially our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, that in this time of fear and conflict, they may know God's presence and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. For the eternal repose of the souls of Ninfa Lerma Solis, Roy and Alicia Marroquin, Francisco Garza Sr., and for the special birthday intentions of Valentina Maria Perez, let us pray to the Lord. A special prayer for Lydia Horta and her family, and for all of those prayers that we now hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
God of love, your Son modeled a selfless love to his disciples and calls us all to love one another in turn. Listen to the prayers of those whom you love, of those who love you, and grant them through that same Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. O God, who by the wonderful exchange effected in this sacrifice have made us partakers of the one supreme Godhead, grant, we pray, that as we have come to know your truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying he has destroyed our death, and by rising restored our life. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise. And even the heavenly powers with the angelic host sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of yours. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. Graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer to the sign.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy you should enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my soul. Let us pray. Graciously be present to your people, we pray, O Lord, and lead those you have imbued with heavenly mysteries to pass from former ways to newness of life through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for a few announcements.
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Father, for a few minutes to tell you about the Knights of Columbus. I'm Jeff Tomlin. I'm the Grand Knight of the Cathedral Parish, the council here at Cathedral. I want to tell you just a little bit about the Knights of Columbus, as this weekend we're having our membership drive looking for new members. The Knights of Columbus is a Catholic...
Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning to celebrate the Mass in Corpus Christi Cathedral. In the name of all the parishioners here and Father Pete Elizardo, our rector, myself, I want to wish you a very blessed Sunday with your family and friends, and let us continue to pray for one another and for the gift of peace in our world. God bless you and have a wonderful week.